Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Members of the public will have a chance in the next several weeks to weigh in on how the state's new voter ID law will be implemented in the 2016 election. The State Board of Elections is holding public hearings across the state as it adopts procedures for the law passed by the last session of the General Assembly. The hearings come as a coalition of voting rights groups found that voter registrations are down at public agencies in North Carolina, and challenges to the voting rights law head to the courts. Here to talk about the busy summer in the voting rights world is Isela Gutierrez with Democracy North Carolina. Well, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
A couple things I want to talk about in the voting rights world this morning. I guess one is the public hearings that are about to begin next month on voter ID. First, before we talk about sort of what people should know about the hearings and maybe what's important about it, what about the law itself? Give us a little bit of background about this voter ID law that's about to take effect.
Well, it was passed in 2013, of course, and it's really a sweeping law that makes lots of changes to our election system and our campaign finance laws. The portion that's gotten the most attention is the voter ID provision, which will go into effect January 1st, 2016, unless the law is overturned by the courts. And so these hearings are about establishing the policy related to voter ID. The law is very vague about how the ID law will actually be applied. It only has the language reasonably resemble. And so these rules are really an attempt to define how the law will be interpreted at the polls come 2016.
These hearings and the decision about how to interpret that law will be made by the State Board of Elections.
That's right.
First of all, why is it important that folks go and actually have some input?
Well, as we all know, the devil is often in the details, and this is especially true in the case of these voter ID laws. Currently, we believe these are good rules in the context of what is a very bad law. The rules currently allow for, they don't require addresses to match, they allow for some basic permutations of names. They instruct poll officials not to take into account things like aging or weight loss or gain when looking at a photo of a voter. So they provide some flexibility that is going to be very important when voters actually show up to the polls in 2016. And we've seen in Texas last year what can happen when there is no flexibility in the rules. So we really want to make sure that folks go out and provide support to the State Board of Elections for, again, what we believe are good rules in the context of a very bad law.
Yeah, what happened in Texas? I think it's worth probably noting for folks who are listening what could actually happen if things go the wrong way.
Sure. In Texas, lots of folks, including two gubernatorial candidates, were turned away from the polls because they didn't have an exact match to their names. Things like instead of having their full middle name, they had their full middle initial. And so people were turned away. In Texas, they actually have an affidavit option that allowed voters to sign something and say, I affirm that their identity. In North Carolina, we don't have that. So voters would truly be turned away. They may be offered a provisional ballot, but in order for that to count, they would have to come back to the Board of Elections within 10 days of the election and show their ID and prove that they are who they say they are. So we don't want to see that. We want the flexibility that the State Board has provided in this current set of rules.
So part of the hope is that people will show up at these hearings and give their input onto the things that are actually, as you mentioned, the good rules interpreting a bad law. One of the things I know that Democracy North Carolina has worked on is to try to convince policymakers to allow student photo IDs to be accepted.
We have worked to convince folks about that. That's not an element of these rules. These rules only interpret the law. We certainly think it's worthwhile for folks who show up to these hearings to mention that, to mention the idea of increased flexibility in the kinds of IDs that will be accepted. But that's not currently within the purview of the State Board of Elections to change.
I want to ask you, before we let you go, about another place that Democracy North Carolina and other voting rights groups have been in the news, which might be confusing to some people, but it appears that there are not as many people being registered to vote under the National Voter Registration Act at Health and Human Services offices across North Carolina. Tell us about what happened and Democracy North Carolina's role.
Sure. So essentially, beginning in 2013, there was a pretty dramatic drop-off in the number of people who were registered to vote at public assistance agencies across the state. And this is a mandate of the National Voter Registration Act, a law that's over 20 years old and has been in place for quite a while. We saw a 58% drop-off in registration rates of individuals who seek services at these agencies. And Democracy North Carolina looked at the numbers. We talked to some other voting rights groups who we worked with in the past when this was a problem under a Democratic governor, and wrote a letter to the State Board of Elections, drawing it to their attention and urging them to take action.
And so do we yet have an explanation as to what happened?
We don't. We don't yet have an explanation, but the State Board of Elections and the Department of Health and Human Services have indicated their willingness to work with us to figure out what has gone wrong and how to fix it. So we're eager to think that the administration is going to move forward and will come up with a solution, or rather a plan for fixing this before the 90 days are up, after which lawsuits are an option.
I hope that most people want as many people to register and participate in democracy as they can. But tell us, why is this alarming that this is happening?
Well, you know, the folks who are going to these agencies are folks who are in a lot of transition and who are needing assistance. And the whole purpose of the National Voter Registration Act is to make registration as accessible and convenient as possible. And we know that's also been a platform of Governor McCrory's administration to increase convenience in executive agencies. So, one, it's critical because these North Carolinians deserve a voice as much as anyone else. And two, we want to see the convenience that Governor McCrory has promised and is interested in available to everyone. So those are two important reasons.
And finally, before I let you go, without getting in sort of into the weeds, you mentioned earlier that the law that established the voter ID requirement, the photo ID requirement, did a lot of other things, and that's still tied up in the court. So the battle over the right to vote and making it more difficult to vote is still going on as Democracy North Carolina and other groups try to make the best of what is a bad situation.
That's right. It's very, very much active. The federal case will go to court in mid-July. July 13th, I believe, is the date that trial is scheduled for. And the state case, which is on exclusively voter ID, the federal case covers a lot more of the law, will go to trial in early August. And then topping off the summer, the exciting summer of voting rights litigation, there will be the North Carolina Supreme Court will revisit the redistricting decision at the behest of the U.S. Supreme Court. So there's a lot going on in the world of voting rights this summer legally. It'll be exciting to see where things land.
Well, thank you for all that you and Democracy North Carolina do to protect our voting rights. And thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
Up next, the meal gap and food deserts in North Carolina. Stay with us.